Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly the films Eddington, Sorry Baby, and The Ballad of Wallace Island.
I'd like to start off today by talking about Eddington. This is the new movie by Ari Aster. He is very famous, most famous. He's only made a few films, actually, for horror movies. He's made a couple of very, very good and interesting horror movies. There was one that was called Hereditary, and then one called Midsommar, which is very much a folk horror movie. Very interesting. The trouble with Ari Aster seems to be that he keeps getting more ambitious. His third movie was called Beau is Afraid, and it was very long, and I found it kind of tangled, and it was interesting, but not as effective as the earlier, somewhat punchier movies that he made, although it was still a horror movie. Well, now he's gone outside the horror genre altogether with Eddington. It's kind of a Western. It's kind of a political satire. It's kind of these things blended together in various ways. And interestingly enough, it's named after the name of the town where it takes place is Eddington. And that comes from a British philosopher of science of bygone times. So again, it's a very ambitious film. For me, it really just doesn't quite work. Again, it tries to do various things, and I don't think it quite pulls them off. But it's an interesting movie, and you could do worse than to check it out. I had, a mildly interesting time watching it. It's way too long. It's about 2.5 hours long, and my gosh, it doesn't need to be anywhere near that. Individual scenes just seem to go on longer than they need to. And then again, not all of the individual scenes are really necessary in the first place. But here's what it's about. We begin in the spring of the year 2020, and yes, the COVID-19 pandemic has hit, and we are in this New Mexico town called Eddington, a fictional place, but it's definitely in New Mexico, and there is a lockdown going on, and there is controversy going on. The local sheriff, a guy named Joe Cross, played by Joaquin Phoenix, a very fine actor, here wearing a beard, and so it's a little bit hard to recognize, but he doesn't want to wear his mask. He believes that his freedom of choice is being violated. And that happens at the very beginning of the movie, and he gets into a shouting match with some regular police officers, the sheriff arguing with the cops. And there we are into the movie's theme, or its main theme already, this idea of personal freedom and personal responsibility and all that in the face of COVID lockdowns and conflicting medical advice and things like that. So we get to know this sheriff a whole lot better as the movie goes along. His name is Joe Cross, and he lives with his wife and his daughter. I, by the way, found them very underwritten parts. They didn't really come across to me in very clear ways. In fact, I just misspoke. It's actually his wife and her mother. And her mother is a real conspiracy theorist. And his wife, on the other hand, has definite mental problems. So we have him and his complicated household with these two women who are very often off in their own mental worlds. Our sheriff, Joe Cross, decides that he's going to run for mayor against the current mayor, Ted Garcia, with whom he has a very personal quarrel going back to a romantic conflict. In fact, it's more than a romantic conflict that they had some years ago. So that's all going on. Now, in the meanwhile, the mayor's son, his young son, has gotten involved in leftist causes. He's involved in Black Lives Matter protests, which keep escalating in the area. And anyway, things kind of keep growing from there. Now, the trouble, one big trouble with the movie Eddington is that it just lays out very exaggerated positions on both sides. And it's attempting to be a satire, but I didn't really find the positions of the people all that interesting. They're either kind of trite or they're kind of just overdrawn. So the Black Lives Matter protests and the other kind of left-wing causes that are going on, they get really exaggerated. exaggerated and people are chanting preposterous slogans and just going way over the top in ways that I'm sure people actually do, but it's not the norm for today's left-wing world. And similarly, the people in the right-wing world of this movie, involved with conspiracy theorizing and all of that. Again, all that stuff definitely goes on, but the movie, I just felt, didn't draw it very convincingly. If you want to have a good, effective satire, you have to have people who are embodying the different positions in believable ways so that you can get the jokes. And here it just all seems to be over the top. Too much, including, as I mentioned already, the movie's length. It's a movie with too muchness going on in it. Now, the cast is very good. Joaquin Phoenix is fine. All the secondary people are fine. Again, I find pretty much all of the female roles to be underwritten. They're just not very persuasive. The movie is interesting to watch if you can take the 2.5-hour length, but as a political satire, it doesn't really work. As a Western, it certainly doesn't work. And as an Ari Aster movie, I'm afraid it doesn't work either. I like most of his horror movies quite a lot. I think they're very good, very effective. Eddington, I think, is a bridge too far for him. He can't quite pull it off. Now, the next movie I want to talk about is called Sorry Baby. And this is the first movie from Eva Victor. And my gosh, she's a real Orson Welles here. She wrote it, she directed it, and she plays the leading role, a young woman named Agnes. I want to mention right now that Sorry Baby, which is a very quiet and kind of under-emotional movie, its great virtue is that it doesn't play its emotions too strongly. It has one thing in common with Eddington. They both include clips, quotes, from Henry Fonda movies. In Eddington, we see a little clip from Young Mr. Lincoln about Abraham Lincoln. And in Sorry Baby, we have a clip from 12 Angry Men. So that's just a little curious thing I wanted to mention. A couple of quotes from very, very fine old movies, both starring Henry Fonda. But now on to our real show here with Sorry Baby. It's a really interesting and very, very involving and beautifully starring Eva Victor, the writer-director of the movie, as this young woman whose name is Agnes, and she is going to graduate school. She's a scholar. We see her at the beginning of the movie with her best friend, who has just gotten pregnant, courtesy of a sperm donor. Her best friend is a lesbian, and Agnes, she's a graduate student, and she has a kind of a mentor, a faculty advisor, the person who's supervising her thesis, a guy named Preston, played by Louis Cancelmi, and he seems to be a very nice guy. He's very committed to her work. He really is very earnestly helping her with her thesis, and we see her meeting with him, and she sees how much she appreciates the very sage advice that he gives her, et cetera, et cetera. But then it's time for one of their meetings on her academic work, and he wants to have it at his home. And she goes to his house, and we then have, again, this is a very quiet movie that takes its time. We have some very long shots of just the house, and it's daytime, and then it's evening, and then it's nighttime, and you wonder what's going on in that house, and eventually Agnes comes out of the house, and gradually we realize that she has been sexually assaulted by this man whom she so respects and admires. Now, what's interesting about this movie is it's very much about the aftermath of this sexual assault, as Agnes comes to grips with it, realize what happened. But what's interesting about the movie is that this is not some sort of a big melodramatic situation that it develops. The rape, which is really what it was, turns out not to have been an extreme rape. It was very quick. It was over very quickly. And it wasn't even, let's say, totalizing in the way it was done. So that's interesting in the movie making that choice. And Agnes, although she is deeply upset by this, is not traumatized by it in some over-the-top way. She waits till the next day before she even goes to see an MD to see if maybe she's been acquired some sort of infection or something. She never reports this to the police. So it's interesting. She seems to be handling this in a very mature and grown-up way. And I'm not saying that this is the way this sort of thing has to be handled by real people in real life. I'm saying it's interesting that the movie, made very much by a female filmmaker and which is obviously made from a somewhat feminist point of view, does not choose to make this a big melodramatic situation that will tug at our heartstrings. Instead, it gets to our emotions in quieter, subtler ways. And the whole rest of the movie is about the aftermath of the sexual assault called. It's about Agnes interacting with other people. Her best friend, who has gone away for a while, comes back into her life. She interacts a little bit with her neighbor, who is a very nice young man. And there are various others. And the ending of the movie I want to mention, because it's especially interesting, I think. Eventually, she does have a full-fledged panic attack. And she gets sort of taken in hand by a total stranger, played by the very fine old character actor John Carroll Lynch, who helps her out, who happens to be in a good position to know what's going on, and he really helps her through this very difficult moment. Again, it's dramatic, but it's not melodramatic. And it's about a very real kind of emotional situation that gets to you, but it's not done in a melodramatic or exaggerated or even pushy or cloying way. The whole movie is done in this understated way. And I appreciate that so, so much, because of so many of the movies that we see nowadays are so overstated in so many ways. So Sorry Baby is a movie which I do not say sorry about at all. I really recommend it. It's one of the very best dramas I've seen in a long time. It's one of the very best feminist movies I've seen in a long time. And it's one of the very best motion pictures I've seen in quite a while. It's a good movie, Sorry Baby. I strongly advise checking it out. And finally, The Ballad of Wallace Island. This one's been out for a little while. I just finally caught up with it. And it is so good. I just had such a good time watching it. It's fun. Made by a guy named James Griffiths. He's only made two movies over the past 10 years. And it stars Tom Basden, wrote the picture, and they clearly tailored it very much to their own talents. Carey Mulligan is also in the movie, and she is also absolutely excellent. So what we have here is Tim Keys playing a guy named Charlie Heath, who won the lottery two times. Yep, he's a Britisher. He played the lottery twice. The first time he blew all the money traveling around with his wife. Then his wife died. He played the lottery again. He won it again. And this time he wasn't going to squander the money on having fun. He was going to do something worthwhile with it. So he's acquired a beautiful old, well, it's actually somewhat beautiful, crumbly old house on an island in the middle of nowhere. There's very few people elsewhere on the island. We only meet a handful of them, including a woman who runs the local store. But there he is living in this great big old house with all of this money from the lottery. And he decides on the anniversary of his wife's death, she died 5 years ago, he's going to bring in his absolutely favorite pop music duo to do a private concert just for him. And this is a pop duo called McGuire Mortimer and played by Tom Basden and Carey Mulligan. Herb McGuire is the first one to show up, and he thinks he's just going to be doing the gig himself just for this one guy. Well, he thinks it's going to be a lot of people. Then he finds out it's just for this one guy. It's going to be totally private, a concert for just one person. And then he finds out after he's arrived on the island in the middle of nowhere that his former partner, with whom he split up a long time ago, played by Carey Mulligan, that she is also going to be there. So he hasn't seen her in a long time. Their breakup as a duo was not entirely, amicable. But now there they are on this island with this eccentric old British guy. Well, he's not old, who wants to have this private concert just for himself. It's going to take place on this rocky beach. And he is going to be sitting on this little platform. And the duo are going to be playing and singing on this little platform. And that's what it's going to be. So what makes this movie so entertaining? Well, first of all, there's the character of Charlie. He is just a funny guy. He is always trying to be nice and funny and witty and convivial and good fellowship and all that. And he's just a funny character. Sometimes I just found myself giggling at just the way he talked. It's an excellent performance by Tim Key. Then we have the singing duo of McGuire Mortimer, played by Tom Basden and Carey Mulligan. And they do a fair amount of singing in the movie, but this film is in no way a musical. When they sing, it's really nice. Again, very low-key, very nice sort of country pop that they do. It's very pleasant to listen to. But mostly we have Herb, who's the first one to show up on the island, dealing with Charlie, who's very eccentric, and then dealing with his former partner, with whom he has now gotten back together again, not of his own choosing. And so we have certain sort of dramatic interactions there. The movie is a dramatic comedy, a drama, a dramedy, And it is just such a nice, low-key movie, very much like Sorry Baby. It gets at your emotions, but it does it in a calm way, in an understated way. And that is just so refreshing in today's movie world. So The Ballad of Wallace Island, I want to say something corny, like, it's a ballad that I would like to sing. It's a ballad I much enjoyed hearing. And it's a movie I much enjoyed watching. Beautifully acted by the very small but very, very nicely chosen cast. And with just a lot of wit, a lot of humor, and a little bit of really, really nice sort of country pop music. So The Ballad of Wallace Island is another movie I really recommend. The new two movies this week that I really recommend are Sorry Baby and The Ballad of Wallace Island. And The Ballad is streaming, so it's easy to find. And I recommend them both. I had a nice time watching them. So that is my somewhat pleasant story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Eddington, Sorry Baby, and The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.